So listen, it's Joshua 22, but I also want you to put your finger in Philippians 4. Tonight, we're continuing our series in real life, and we're going to be talking about dealing with misunderstandings. Dealing with misunderstandings. Would you go with me to the Lord in prayer? Father, we're so thankful for this book. It's changing my life. As we talk about real life, in the issues of life, because this book is about us walking here, and you are Joshua fighting on our behalf. Lord, we are so thankful that you've given us this book to help lead and guide us in real life. And so, Lord, we pray now as we go into your word that you'd speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua chapter 22. I'm actually going to start just a verse before. It's one of my favorite verses in scripture. Joshua 21 verse 45. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel all come to pass. Now, if you're just coming for the first time, Joshua is that book where the children of Israel are going into the promised land for the first time after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Joshua, of course, leads them into this promised land because Moses has gone home to be with the Lord. Joshua fights battle after battle, and now here at the end of this book, we find that they have gotten their inheritance. Exactly what God said would happen has happened. Oh, that they would have gone in 40 years earlier and trusted God at his word. But now it's time to come to a close. Now, if you remember, there were 2.5 tribes who had already received their land, but they chose to go and fight with the children of Israel in the promised land. And now it's time to say farewell to these guys as they head back to the land of Gilead. Now, let's pick up from there in Joshua chapter 22. Would you look with me at verse 1? Then Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh. This is the 2.5 tribes we were just talking about. And he said to them, now let me talk for just a moment. If you're taking note, it's point number one. These guys have an incredibly great relationship. Think about it if you would. For the last 7 to 10 years, they have fought together. They have been in the trenches. They knew each other. They fought with each other. They fought for each other. They were able to be together and be in this battle. And there's nothing like being in a battle together. It reminds me of our Patmos students. After 4 months of being together, going through the trenches, of going through this radical discipleship, listen, by the end of the 4 months, they know each other well. In fact, they become best friends. They become people like a family of God where they're just together. In the same way, these guys have an incredibly great relationship after fighting together. Now, there's a couple things that we should probably know about what it takes to have a great relationship. Well, I think it involves character. And that's exactly what Joshua is going to point out. And we need to evaluate, do I have this kind of character as I look at my relationships and my friendships? Because I want to say something. If you look at your friends, you're looking at yourself. It's Joshua chapter 22. Take a look at verse 2. You have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and you've obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You see, he's looking at these guys and he says, you know what? I want to tell you something about you. You're honorable. You're honorable. That's a character about you. You listen to Moses and you even listen to me. You're an honorable group of people. Look at verse 3. You've not left your brethren these many days up to this day, but you've kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. Not only are they honorable, they're loyal. They're loyal friends. They're loyal and they're faithful. He says, look, you fought with us. You chose to stay with us and you chose to obey the commandment of the Lord. Who are you hanging out with? Who are you? Do these words define you? You see, great relationships, they encourage each other. They tell each other about who they are and what they are. Don't just wait till a funeral to give your friend his flower. Give it to them today. Tell them the characters about them that you honor about them. Tell them the characters about them that you cherish, the fact that you're actually friends. It's exactly what Joshua is doing. And he says in verse 4, and now the Lord your God has given rest to your brethren as he promised them. Now, therefore, return and go to your tents, to the land of your possession, which Moses, a servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. But take heed, careful heed, to do the commandment and the law which Moses, a servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. You see, he's looking at these guys and he says, you know what? You're humble. You're humble because you still allow me. You know me. You know who I am. We've been in the trenches together, but you're willing to take direction from me. This is a great relationship. He's calling out the things about their character that he loves about this particular group. But as well, look what he says in verse 6. So Joshua blessed them, and he sent them away, and they went to their tents. Now to the half the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given a possession in Bashan, but to the other half of it, Joshua gave a possession among their brethren on this side of the Jordan, westward. And indeed, when Joshua sent them away to their tents, he blessed them. And he spoke to them, saying, return with much riches to your tents, with very much livestock, with silver, with gold, with bronze, with iron, with very much clothing. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. So the children of Israel and the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh returned. Stop there if you would. We're listening to some incredible characters about these friends. They're honorable. They're loyal. They're faithful. They're humble. But he also trusts them. And he says, look, I'm going to give you all of these things. When you go back, I'm not going to send anybody with you. I want you to divide it amongst all of the people that are there. You're trustworthy. I can trust you with all of these things. I'm going to bless you. Now I got a question. Are you a blessing to your friend? Do you hold these characters and these traits as something that's even true for you, or something that you can even bless your friends with and give them an encouraging word? Because there's something else about a great relationship. You see, not only do they encourage, a great relationship exhorts. You see, I've gotten several good friends, three very best friends in my life. And the one thing that I love about these best friends is this: they tell me the truth. They're not afraid to say, Chet, you're wrong. They're not afraid to say, Chet, there's something that needs to change. No, this is exactly what Joshua is doing. He's going to not only encourage his friends and bless them, he's going to exhort them, and he says to them, but you've got to be obedient to the commandment of the Lord. You've got to love him. You've got to walk in his ways. You've got to keep his ways. You've got to choose to hold fast to him and serve him with all of your heart. You see, that's a true friend. A true friend leads someone to Jesus, that we follow his ways. Now, I know sometimes it hurts to tell your friends the truth, but if you're truly a friend, you're not just going to encourage them and bless them, you're also going to exhort them and bless them. But there's one thing about every great relationship, and it's a fact that we're human beings. Look with me, if you would, at Joshua chapter 22, verse 9. We'll continue. After they returned and departed from the children of Israel at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go to the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, which they had obtained according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And when they came to the region of the Jordan, which is in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, they built an altar there by the Jordan, a great, impressive altar. Now the children of Israel heard someone say, behold, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they built an altar in the frontier land of Canaan, in the region of the Jordan, on the children of Israel's side. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered together at Shiloh to go to war against them? Wait a second. Joshua, you were just blessing them. Joshua, you were just commending them. Joshua, you were just telling them how incredible they are. But let me tell you something about great relationships. You can write it down. Great relationships will have great misunderstandings. Great relationships, even the best of relationships, will have great misunderstandings. Wait a second. You want to go to war? What happened? Come on, Joshua, these guys served in the trenches with you. Now you want to kill them? What kind of misunderstanding is going on? Listen, I'll never forget. Sometimes our language can even be a misunderstanding. I was on my way with a group of missionaries, and we were going what was called behind the lines. We were going into rebel territory while I was serving in Africa. Well, this guy gets out of the car, and he looks at me, and he says, Chet, I'm filled with the Spirit. I need to go and talk to the soldiers. And I looked at him, and I go, dude, you are not filled with the Spirit. You're filled with something else. Get back in the car. And he goes, no, I've got to go, and I've got to communicate. And he walks right up to the soldier, and he says, I'm a missionary. Well, the soldier looked at him and said, you're a mercenary? And he said, hearing missionary, says, yes, I am a missionary. Well, the soldier took his baton out, hit him over the head, arrested me, arrested my other friend, put us in the sun. We were laying in a crucifix position for an hour until they put us on trial because he misunderstood what he was saying. At the end of the night, after we were finally freed, I looked at him and I go, now, what were you filled with? Listen, misunderstandings are going to happen simply by fact that we are human beings. And that's exactly what happens, a misunderstanding. Now, it's amazing to me. Something that always blows in my mind is how a single event between two friends can change their relationship forever. They've been friends for years, and then all of a sudden there's one misunderstanding, and now everything changes, and they completely forget about their relationship. I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but the mark of our faith is that they'll know that we're his disciples by our love for one another. But there's a problem. The problem is human beings. We are not perfect. We are so not perfect that we'll say things and we'll do things and we'll be things that are not right, that will offend and that will hurt, because we are human beings and we're not perfect. You see, we've got to learn how to handle misunderstandings, because no matter what kind of relationship you have, there are going to be misunderstandings. Paul dealt with this in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, he tells them, listen, you're going to suffer with Christ. Philippians chapter 2, he says, listen, you've got to have the mind of Christ. You've got to be humble and you've got to be obedient. Philippians chapter 3, he says, listen, you've got to forget the things from before. You've got to press on towards the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And you're wondering, Paul, where are you headed? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to see exactly why Paul said these things to the church at Philippi. Philippians chapter 4, it's verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implored Yodia, I implored Syntyche, however you want to say her name, to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord's at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And we get a glimpse now in Philippians chapter 4, why he said, forget the things that are behind. Why he said, have the mind of Christ. Why he said, you're going to suffer, because the Philippian church is in the middle of a little cat fight. We got two women having a little argument. They are just clawing each other's eyes out. And Paul says to them, I'm begging you, ladies, can you please remember everything we've done together in the gospel? Why are you letting this one event change your relationship? You see, the truth of the matter is, Misunderstandings are going to happen, and we've got to learn how to deal with them. So let's take a look back at Joshua chapter 22 and understand just for a moment how they dealt with it, and maybe we can evaluate with our own lives and the misunderstandings we might be having how we can choose to deal with it. Would you go back with me? Let's take a look at first what happens in verse 11. They heard someone say, "Man, oh man, we got to be careful what and who we listen to." They heard someone say. You see, Solomon in Proverbs chapter 18, he says this. Listen, when the first one comes and brings a report, he's very believable until his neighbor comes and examines him. You see, someone comes in on the scene. Did you hear? Did you hear what happened? Did you hear what she did? Did you hear what he did? Did you hear what they did? Do you know what's going on over there? Well, let me tell you what's going on. They're building an altar. They're not supposed to build an altar. Do you know what's going on? We got to go. We got to go deal with these guys. We got to be careful who we listen to and what we're listening to, because gossip starts wars. It starts wars. But secondly, I want you to see what else they did. If you'll take a look with me, if you'll look with me over in verse 13, then the children of Israel sent Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, to the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, and to the half tribe of Manasseh into the land of Gilead. And with him, he took 10 rulers, one ruler from each chief house of every tribe of Israel. And each one was the head of the house of his father among the divisions of Israel. Then they came to the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, and to the half tribe of Manasseh, to the land of Gilead, and they spoke with them. Stop there if you would. You see, we need to learn from them. Don't listen to all of the gossip, but we also need to learn something from them. They were obedient to Scripture. You see, in Deuteronomy chapter 13, something happens. You see, God knows that misunderstandings are going to happen. And so he tells the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 13, if you hear that someone is worshiping another god, I want you to send the leaders so that they can do a diligent study as to what is the truth to what is going on. And that's exactly what Phinehas is doing. You see, he's the high priest's son. He's on his way with the leaders to go and be obedient to Scripture as to what is going on. So they send Phinehas. Now, let me tell you who Phinehas is. This guy is radical. You see, he's Eleazar's son, the high priest's son. And everybody knows this guy to be a radical, passionate guy for God. So much so, listen, this guy's unbelievable. He was the guy that they would take into war with them so that they would know God's with us. He was also the guy when the children of Israel were playing around with all the daughters of Moab and doing all of their thing with them, God sent a plague. And this Jewish guy, he comes in with this Moabite woman. He's all arrogant about the fact that he's got this Moabite woman. And here's what happens. Phinehas sees this guy and sees this woman. He takes a javelin and he runs towards the guy. He pierces the guy through, and he pierces the guy through so hard, he actually pins the woman as well, and both of them die. That's Phinehas. They sent Phinehas for a reason, because they know Phinehas will be passionate about God and that Phinehas will deal with whatever problem there is. We've got to learn to deal with problems. Look at verse 15 of Joshua chapter 22. Then they came to the children of Reuben. They came to them, and they came to them in the land of Gad. And they said this to them. Look at verse 16. Thus says the whole congregation of the Lord, what treachery is this that you've committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, and that you built for yourselves an altar that you might rebel this day against the Lord? Is the iniquity of Peor not enough for us, from which we are not cleansed till this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord? But that you must turn away this day from following the Lord. And it shall be, if you rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he'll be angry with the whole congregation of Israel. Nevertheless, if the land of your possession is unclean, cross over to the land of the possession of the Lord, where the Lord's tabernacle stands, and take possession among us. Don't rebel against the Lord, nor rebel against us by building yourselves an altar besides the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on the congregation of Israel, and that a man did not perish alone in his iniquity? You see, Phinehas, he goes on the scene, and he's being obedient to Scripture. But I want you to write this down. It's point number three. Great misunderstanding can lead to great conflict. We're dealing with human beings. Now remember, we're supposed to love one another. And love? Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. But the problem is when we are personally affected, when we are personally hurt, there's something that happens in that misunderstanding that we forget the Bible, that we're supposed to hope all things. And all of a sudden, Phinehas, what does he do? Emotional. He looks at him and he says this, "What treachery!" You see, Phinehas, he's being obedient to Scripture in practice, but not in character. And there's two mistakes that Phinehas makes. You see, the first mistake he makes assumptions. He's operating on some assumptions. You see, here's what happens. When they came on the scene to their friends, these people that they had blessed, they've already believed in their mind their own story. You are rebelling against God. Why are we so quick to go to the negative? Because there's an entire industry called Fox News and CNN and every other news station that you listen to that loves to tell you the bad and the negative, and we watch it with our eyes bugged out just like this, waiting for the next negative thing to be told to us. We're a culture where news makes millions and billions of dollars by telling us all the negative and the bad. It's so easy for the human nature to jump to those kinds of assumptions and go negative. It's why Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 18, listen, if you've got a problem with your friend, if there's a misunderstanding, go to your friend. Go to your friend and find out. And listen, if your friend won't listen to you, take someone with you, because I want you guys to be able to communicate, because communication brings understanding. The problem when you start believing your own story and you start assuming the negative about your friend, all of a sudden you've developed this soap opera and now your friend is absolutely guilty. So Jesus gives us a simple solution. He says, look, just go to them. But not only was Phinehas making assumptions, you see, Phinehas was also being accusational. He's coming at them and he says, what are you guys doing? Now, the Bible says there's one who accuses, the devil. And he stands in front of the brethren and he says, look at them. Look what they're doing. They're rebels at God. And Phinehas is making the same mistake. He is accusing his brethren. Instead of believing all things, instead of hoping all things, instead of choosing to love them, he says, what treachery. You're going to bring judgment on us. Don't you remember what happened to us at Baal Peor? Now, here's what he's saying to him. He's saying, you remember what happened? Remember when the men started doing all their stuff with the women? Do you remember what I did? I took that javelin and I speared, and I just want you to know something, that if you're rebelling against God, I, Phinehas, I'm going to deal with this problem. Do you hear the kind of character of passion that's coming out of Phinehas? Now listen, this misunderstanding has happened because they heard something. They made assumptions and accusations based on their previous experiences. Don't you remember Baal Peor? Don't you remember Achan? You must be doing the same thing. It's like this, ladies, listen. Not all men are bad. Only the one that hurt you. But we do it, don't we? We have an experience, and now, because he hurt me, all men are bad. Or, listen to this, someone's deceived you. That doesn't make everyone a liar. No, it makes that person the liar. But we do this. We evaluate our present day experience based on what we've already experienced. And we as well make accusations and assumptions. I want to remind you of something. I want to explain something. We've got to be careful to allow love to overlook a multitude of sins instead of putting our life's experiences on other people who are not connected to what happened in your life, but suffer the consequences of the pain that you feel. It's not our fault. You see, it's what Phinehas is doing. But I want to help you understand something. The children of Israel are not the only ones at fault in this misunderstanding. It always takes two to tango. And if you don't evaluate yourself in a misunderstanding, no, that's the first place that you need to start. You see, these guys, if we go all the way back to verse 10, as soon as they leave Shiloh, they're on their way to cross the Jordan. It's only 8 miles. Only 8 miles. And on their way, they develop an insecurity complex. They start believing their own lies. Well, we're going to cross the Jordan. These people are going to forget us. They're going to forget about us, period. They're not going to remember us. They're not going to call us. They're not going to send letters to us. We're going to get on the other side. We won't be the people of God. We won't be protected anymore. They start talking amongst themselves in 8 miles. In 8 miles, that's it. From the time they left Shiloh to the time of the Jordan River, they made a decision to believe the devil's lie, the stories that they made up in their own mind. They forgot the relationship. They forgot the blessing that Joshua had laid on their life. And now they're believing their own story, even blaming the Lord. Take a look if you would. It's Joshua chapter 22. Look at their response in verse 22. The Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knows, and let Israel itself know, if it's in rebellion or in treachery against the Lord, don't save us this day. If we built ourselves an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer on it burnt offerings or grain offerings, or to offer peace offerings on it, let the Lord himself require an account. But in fact, we've done it for fear, for reason, saying, in time to come, your descendants may speak to our descendants, saying, what have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a border between you and us. You children of Reuben and children of Gad, you have no part in the Lord, they might say. So your descendants would make our descendants cease from fearing the Lord. Listen to these guys. These guys are saying, the Lord put a border between us. No, then that's not true. You decided to stay on that land. You've made up this story. You're living in your own soap opera. The Lord didn't put that boundary between you. You made the decision to put that boundary between yourself. And they say, maybe your descendants will say, you've got no part in the Lord. Why are they saying these things? They're saying these things for a reason. I think we say these things. Take a look, if you would. It's verse 24. But in fact, we've done it for fear. Now, I want to read this to you in the way that the Hebrew would read it. We did it out of our anxiety. Now, remember what Paul said. Paul said, when you're anxious, you need to pray. When we make decisions when we're anxious, it's no good. You see, there's a couple problems with the decisions that they made. They didn't seek the Lord. Here they are making this great, impressive altar. They didn't ask God, should we do this? Should we not do this? But the second thing they choose to do, they choose not to go to their spiritual authority in Shiloh and say, hey, can we build this altar? No, they're acting in fear. They're acting in anxiety. They're acting like a cat up against a wall. And they are part of the misunderstanding because they've not sought the Lord and they've not stayed under their spiritual authority. Listen, when we're anxious, when there's misunderstanding, you've got to establish spiritual authority so that you can go to them and say, hey, I'm feeling this way. What do you think? How should I respond? Because if you trust your emotions, it's no good. If you trust the way that you're feeling, you will end a relationship and forget the years that you've been together. Listen, misunderstandings can lead to conflict. Now, these practices, listen, they practice this insecurity. They practice this blame. They were the victim, and they were being victimized. They chose not to talk to God. They chose not to put themselves under spiritual authority. These were characters about these people. It's why Joshua told them the truth and said, look, be careful to follow the way of the Lord, because he also knew their weakness. And these characters, this would not be the first time they practiced this. This would not be the first time they wouldn't ask God. This would not be the first time that they would choose to blame and be the victim. No, so much so, they would live in these practices that these 2.5 tribes, they would be the first to go apostate, the first to leave God, the first to be taken by the Assyrian army, because they were choosing no longer to follow God. They were choosing to follow themselves. But I want you to see our fourth and final point. Would you take a look at Joshua chapter 22, going on to verse 30. When they had heard this, now when Phinehas the priest and the rulers of the congregation, the head of the divisions of Israel who were with them, heard the words of the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh spoke, it pleased them. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said to the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is amongst us, because you've not committed this treachery against the Lord. Now you've delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. Finally, if you're taking note, it's point number 4. Great relationships will be zealous for great peace. You got to love Israel. You got to love how zealous they were to protect the honor of God. But unfortunately for them, they were zealous about the wrong thing. They were about to die and kill people because of a misunderstanding. I don't know if you've ever been so angry that you just want to, that's where they were. Because of a misunderstanding about something that was wrong. But I want you to see what they chose to do to avert this misunderstanding and be zealous about peace. Look at verse 30. They heard the words of the 2.5 tribes. They heard the words of the 2.5 tribes. They chose to listen. They chose to listen. Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, he says this, in all of your getting, get wisdom, get understanding. You see, can you imagine if they had to be right? If in the misunderstanding, they went into the misunderstanding and said, you know what? We hear your story and we believe we're still right, so you're gonna die. That's not what they did. They said, wow, we're wrong. We're sorry. We didn't know. Imagine the other side. Imagine if the 2.5 tribes, they choose not to listen. And when they came at them with their assumptions and their accusations, imagine if they got defensive and said, you know what? We don't like you anyway. And they took out their spears and their machine guns or whatever they had back then. And they just started just getting rid of everybody. No, they didn't respond that way. They chose to listen. They chose to realize, we have a misunderstanding. We're in relationship and we need to make it right. They chose to listen, and the fruit of it, we perceive that the Lord is here. You see, God is the Prince of Peace. He governs peace. And the truth of Scripture is that he wants us to live in peace. Every week I give you a challenge, and this week I ask you this question. Who are you in a misunderstanding with? Maybe you need to follow their example and go and seek them out and listen. You might come to understanding and realize what you understood was a misunderstanding and find peace. Would you pray with me? Father, in Jesus' name, we're so thankful for your word, because it really does teach us how to live. And I pray now, as the Prince of Peace, that you bring peace to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.